We're in a series called House of Hope. House of Hope, and what does it look like to follow Jesus as a church, to be a place where people can come and encounter hope? Because is that not something the world we need today is hope? And I believe we're called to be that as a church. And so this is the final week in our series, A House of Hope. But if it's your first time here, welcome to the first and last message in the series. May God bless you. And the title of the message today is called Better Together. Better Together, if you want to write that down. Youth, love to see you sitting up front. Teal on top, right? Teal on top. That was our team at camp. We came in third place, a distant third out of three teams, okay? So we brought home bronze with like the 40 other people at camp that were the teal team, but they didn't know it. We had to represent. So teal on top, the title of the message, Better Together. And I want to ask, you know, what is a healthy relationship look like spiritually? What does healthy relationships look like spiritually? If I asked you, do you have healthy spiritual relationships in your life, would you say yes or no? And so I want to talk today, what do spiritual relationships that are healthy look like in our life? And I want to start in 2 Timothy verse 1. 2 Timothy verse 1, I'm going to be reading out of the NLT version today. Your version may be different. There's a lot of good versions out there. There's some bad versions out there of translation, but this one's a good one, I promise. Some of y'all sweating already. It's not your one version, the ESV or the NIV or whatever it is, or New King James, and you're just sweating bullets, I promise. It's going to be okay. Reading out of the NLT, what's up, front row people? I love y'all. Always brave people sitting up front. Let's go. I see y'all. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. First thing I want to talk about before we get into the three different relationships we all need to have to be healthy and growing spiritually, the first thing I want to talk about is your personal home a house of hope? Is your personal home a house of hope? Paul's writing, and in part of this letter to Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy with great faith that you have, but where did the faith first come from? It came from his grandmother, Lois. It came from his mother, Eunice. This genuine faith has been passed down to Timothy. And Paul's encouraging him, looking at this family, I want to ask, is your house a house of hope? Is there a faith that's being passed down? It's why I'm so proud of people like Nikki and Ron and DJ McHale and Gabe and Gabby and Alex and Rachel. They're raising their kids up. They say, I want to be a house of hope. I've got a genuine faith and I want to see it go to my kids. Maybe you're a grandparent right now and you're praying for your kids or your grandparents because why? You want to see a genuine faith that's passed down to them, right? Why do we have a faith right now? People have passed it on to us, and that's what we're called to do until Jesus comes back for us, is to pass this faith on. Is it happening in your household right now? Is your house a house of hope? And that's what Timothy grew up in. We don't know about his father. We don't know about his grandfather, but man, his grandmother and his mother said, we will pass this faith on to Timothy, and Paul is commending him of that. But Paul's teaching to Timothy in the first relationship, if you want to write it down, the first relationship that all of us need to be healthy spiritually is we all need a Timothy. We all need a Timothy. We need someone that we're going to pass our wisdom onto. We need to pass this faith onto. And it doesn't matter if you're 18 right now. It doesn't matter if you're 88. The first relationship you need to have biblically is a Timothy in your life that you're going to pass this faith onto, your wisdom. I mean, one of the things I love personally, if I'm going to get honest with you guys, I love about Vertical Church is we're a multi-generational church. Not one person said amen. I thought I'd get an amen there. There we go. We got some front row people, man. Y'all got my back. I love that we're a multi-generational church. You don't show up and there's just one age group running around, but we've got people in elementary school and preschool, and we got people who are retired. May I get there one day? You know, but it is not today. I don't know. It's going to be hard to retire if I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know that I'll ever really want to retire. I love what I get to do. Hope I get to do it a long time if the Lord doesn't come back in my lifetime. And I think here's the thing. Some of you want to be a Paul. Some of you want to have a Timothy, right? you actually really desire to pass this faith on. Some of you are like, God's given me something, and I want to share it to other people. You know what I'm talking about? But if you discover this as you get a little bit older, sometimes it's harder to build a bridge with younger people, right? Can y'all relate? Amen is right. I'm 32 years old, and I'm already realizing, man, if Teal Team ain't top, I don't know that I can relate with the younger people sometimes. I don't know what's going on in school. Thank the Lord. I know God's faithful because I got out of school. I don't miss it. Amen? No one's telling you when you go home from school, now you have more homework. I ain't got no time for that anymore. May the Lord bless and keep you, students, that you may finish. Run your race with perseverance, the Bible says. But I want to talk to some of you guys on how to build that bridge. How do you build a bridge with a Timothy? Because here's the thing, if we're not careful, the way we try to build a bridge is we go up to a Timothy and go, I've got wisdom and I'm going to share it with you. And Timothy's like, away from me, stranger danger, get before me, you know, like out. Like, we don't know how to build that bridge. I was taught something early on in youth ministry that's always applied. It came from Pastor Drew, one of my mentors, and the quote comes from John Maxwell, a guy I have tremendous respect for. I probably quote him more than hardly anyone else outside of the Bible up here. But John Maxwell, this quote was taught from him. I've heard Theodore Roosevelt coined it. I don't really know. May the Lord deal with it. But the phrase is this, if you want to write it down. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I'll say it one more time because some of you want to write that down. It's from John Maxwell. People don't care how much you know how much you care. And the first thing you've got to do if you want to build a bridge with a Timothy is you've got to show you care. Here's the thing. You can have all the wisdom in the world. You can be Paul writing half the New Testament by the power of God. But if somebody doesn't know you care, it's going to go out in one ear and one out the other. And they're just going to have a glazed over look. Maybe you've been trying to be a Paul to a Timothy, and you've seen this look before. The Timothy's just got a glazed over look looking at you. And you're like, I'm dropping gold right here. And they're like, it's like a gold nugget that I'm about to throw out. Like, I ain't got no time for it. The first thing you've got to do if you want to build a bridge with a Timothy is you have to show you care. You have to show you care. And what's so interesting about John Maxwell, John Maxwell's 75 years old, He's been labeled as the greatest leader of our generations. It's been said that John Maxwell has written more leadership material than any person in the entire world ever. That's pretty impressive. That's John Maxwell. And if John Maxwell showed up today and sat down front here, because that's where he'd be, right? John Maxwell would sit down front. Before I would start preaching, he would take out something to take notes. 75 years old, possibly the greatest leader of our generations, he'd come, listen to Pastor Phil, 32 years old, he'd open a notebook and take notes. Not because I definitely have more wisdom than John Maxwell, but what's made him such a great leader is he's never stopped learning. He's never stopped learning. He could show up here and go, I'm going to look and listen and try to find something that I can learn here. Maybe something that will be brought back to memory, something that can encourage me. He's got a posture of learning. So the first thing we have to do to build a bridge is we've got to show that we care. But the second thing, if you want to build a bridge with a Timothy, is you have to listen. You have to listen. And man, if you don't know how to show that you care, I'm telling you, point two is how you show you care. You show that you're willing to listen. If you are willing to listen to somebody, that is the clearest way usually to communicate, I care. I care. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to listen to you. I care about what you're saying. I care about what's going on in your life. It's one of the ways that John Maxwell gets to speak into so many people's lives over the years is when he shows up. His first posture is not, let me teach you, not let me show you that I'm possibly the greatest leader of the generations. So many times his posture is, I want to learn. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And it opens so many doors for him to speak into people's lives. The third thing, if you want to build a bridge with a Timothy, is ask questions. Ask questions. Because if you ask questions, it's going to communicate that you care if you listen. If you're looking to build a bridge with a Timothy, ask a question. How's sports going? How's school going? How's that crazy boyfriend or girlfriend doing? Not that any of you guys have ever dated anybody that was crazy, right? My ex-girlfriend in high school was legit crazy. I won't tell you her name because in this day or society, you're going to try to go find her online, right? That's like exactly what half of y'all would try to go do. Who was Pastor Phil dating, man? That's my past. We ain't going to talk about it. Somebody said amen. Okay. But if you want to build a bridge to me, ask questions. Have a genuine concern for what's going on in their life. And the fourth thing you get to do, the fourth thing to build a bridge, is then that's where you get to share wisdom. You get to share wisdom because they're going to ask questions back. It's the beautiful thing that happens. Once somebody knows that you care, somebody knows that you will listen, somebody has experienced that you're willing to ask questions about them, the most bizarre thing is going to happen for you. They're just going to start asking you questions. It's going to reverse the whole role. They're going to be someone who asks questions. They're going to be someone who listens, and they're going to care. It almost reverses the whole cycle back. And so if you're looking to build a bridge with a Timothy because you know God's calling, raising you up, that's the first thing you have to do. But I think we all need a Timothy in our life. We all need a Timothy, regardless if you're 18 or 88. We all need a Timothy we're pouring into. The second relationship, let's look at 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field, and there were 12 teams of oxen in the field. Elisha was plowing them with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, "First, let me go kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire and to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. The second relationship we all need is an Elijah. We need someone that is ahead of us, that's going to mentor us, that's going to pour into us. Look at what it says about Elisha. He had the posture of an assistant. Some of your translations may have a posture of a servant. But in order for this relationship to work, in order for you to have an Elijah, there's got to be someone in your life that you're willing to take the posture before as, "I want to be your assistant. I want to serve. I want to look. I want to listen. I want to learn." And if some of you can testify, as you get a little bit older, does it not get a little harder sometimes to find an Elijah? Anybody in the building ever start to experience as you kind of grow, as you mature, as you get older, it gets harder to find an Elijah? Sometimes you got to pray and ask, "God, give me an Elijah. I want someone who can learn. I want someone to keep this posture of learning before." And I've spoken about John Maxwell as a guy I really respect, I learn from, I look up to, I try to read his material. And that's the difficult thing in the world we live in today. We have access to some great leaders, do we not? You have the ability to get free access to someone like John Maxwell or a pastor you really respect. There's so much free material to learn from out there, but I want to encourage you. What was the two things that happened in this relationship between Elisha and Elijah? There's two things. One, there was a posture to learn. It was a posture to learn. He said, "I want to be your assistant. I want to serve. I want to follow you. I want to learn from you." There was a posture there, but there was also, write this down, a proximity. There was a proximity. He left his family to follow Elijah. There's a proximity that happens in the Elijah-Elisha relationship. There's a proximity. And the danger that you and I can fall into is because of technology and access today, some of our Elijahs become people that we very much have a posture before. We have a posture of learning. I've got no problem having a posture before John Maxwell of learning and listening. The problem with that technology, there's no proximity there. There's no proximity. It's a one-way thing. If John Maxwell is going to teach this, doesn't know me, it's all good stuff, and I can learn, but there's no way John Maxwell is sitting across the table from me and speaking directly into my life. Do you have an Elijah that you've got proximity with? I think as society continues to grow and it's easier to get access to great people, the harder it is for us to really find an Elijah that we have proximity with. I really look up to a pastor named Craig Rochelle. He does a lot of leadership stuff. He's a great leader. I really look up to Kerry Newhoff. He's a guy who has a podcast for leaders. I look up to these people, but they don't know me from Adam. I probably will never meet them in my life. I've got no proximity with them. That's why I've got to have someone like a Pastor Drew in my life, someone who's been in ministry longer than I've been alive, someone that can sit across a table every couple months and go, Philip, this is what I'm seeing in your life, and challenge me and encourage me, but spur me on. There's a proximity in that relationship, and I want to encourage you. Do you have that Elijah in your life? That not only do you have the posture, I'm going to submit, I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, but also have proximity with them. Man, if we don't have an Elijah in our life, someone that we're not willing to submit to, someone we're not willing to listen to, someone, man, if they say something, we're going to really take it to heart. We're going to really pray through that. We're really going to listen. Who is the Elijah in your life right now? And you may go, I don't have one. It may be a great time for you to start praying, God, I need to find an Elijah. I need you to bring that person into my life. And you may be asking, how do I find an Elijah? How do I find an Elijah? And I want to tell you two things on how to find an Elijah. It's not going to be as hard as you think, or at least I don't think so. The first thing is just think about people you respect. Think about people you respect. Who do you have a respect for? And maybe just one area of life. I love how they read the Bible, or how they follow the Lord, or their prayer life, or how they're working in business. I'm trying to find an Elijah. Who do I respect? And here's the second thing. You got to have some gumption. Go ask them questions. Go ask an Elijah questions. One of the things I learned early on in my life, students, if you want to listen to this, I'll share something that has absolutely helped me develop as a leader. As I learned early on in high school, most of the people I look up to, 80 to 90% of the people, if I was willing to ask them a question, will you go out to coffee with me? Will you go have lunch with me? 80 to 90% of the people I looked up to were willing to do that just because I asked. If you have someone you really respect, really look up to, 80 to 90% of the time, if you go, hey, I really respect the way that you do X, and I'd love to learn from you, will you go have coffee or dinner or something with me, and I just get to ask you some questions and learn from you, 80 to 90% of the time, you found yourself an Elijah. They will be willing to give you that time. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. The second thing, when you show up to speak to this person, have questions ready, and then listen. Don't show up to the Elijah and then try to tell them all the things you're really good at and why the ideas they have don't work because this is what you got. Don't do that, or you're about to find the Elijah does not exist anymore. First thing, find the people you respect, and then two, have the gumption to go ask them, because 80 to 90% of the time, an Elijah is going to be willing to share with you if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to ask questions. There's a third relationship that I think we all need, and it comes out of Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 21. Acts 14, verse 21 says, after preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch and Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they'd put their trust. And then they traveled back through Pisidia to Pamphylia. And they preached the word in Perga and then went down to Attalia. And the third relationship we all need is a Barnabas. We all need a Barnabas, someone who is alongside of us, running their race. We're going the same direction. We're looking to serve the Lord in the same way. If you're struggling, how do I find a Barnabas? The things you're going to look for in kind of this Barnabas person is, do we still have the same foundational spiritual beliefs? Do we have the same foundational beliefs? Are we going the same direction? Do we have a zeal and care for the Lord? Are we going toward something together? The worst thing you do is find a Barnabas and they're going the opposite way. That's not going to be good for you because you're going to have to split at some point if you're going to follow the Lord. But man, we all need a Barnabas. Because here's the thing, you can have an Elijah and you can have a Timothy. But if you don't have a Barnabas, you're going to end up feeling alone real fast. Have you ever experienced that before? You're trying to follow the Lord, and you feel like no one's really running the race alongside of you. You kind of get on your own. If we don't have a Barnabas, we can have the other relationships, but we begin to feel alone. It's one of the reasons we've set up vertical groups the way we have. I know the way we've done it has sometimes confused people. They don't understand why we would have things like an inductive Bible study for men or women, and then we have a group that goes and plays golf together and everything in between. They're like, why would you do that? How are they both useful? How are they both groups? And we have different groups designed to do different things. We have groups that are designed to help you grow spiritually, and we have groups that are designed for you to invite someone. They'll never step foot in church, but they may come play golf with you. We set it up that way. We have different groups that are set up to hopefully help you find an Elijah or Timothy if you're looking. We have groups that are designed and set up for you to hopefully find a Barnabas if that's what you're looking for in life. We want our groups inside of our church to be designed to help you find the spiritual relationships that you need. You can go to church your entire life and never have these relationships. You never step out to look to grow in these areas of life. If you're missing one of these things, the one things you may need to do is get inside of a group. Go, I need a Barnabas, or I need to find a Timothy. Or, goodness, I need an Elijah. A vertical group is a great place to go looking for that. And I think sometimes the temptation is when a pastor gives up to give a message, the temptation is we must not be doing this very well, right? He wouldn't spend time talking about this if we're not doing it well, and it's actually the complete opposite. One of the reasons we're doing this message is I want to commend you as a pastor. I think we're doing this well. I know personally from my experience at Vertical, I've had Elijahs, I've got Barnabases, I've got Timothys. This church has done a wonderful job of loving me and supporting me in this way. And I want to commend you, but I also want to tell us, don't give up. Because one of the things when you start to do something well, what's the temptation? Is you can get complacent, you can get comfortable. This can begin to be something we used to do really well. And I want to commend you, but also compel you. Don't give up doing this. Don't give up being a place that people can find an Elijah. Don't give up being a place that people can find a Barnabas. Don't give up being a place that we can find a Timothy here. Keep doing this really well because we need it. The Bible outlines these relationships as something that was really beneficial to Timothy. It was really beneficial for Paul to have Barnabas. It was really beneficial for Elijah to look up to Elijah. These relationships were blessed by God to help people grow. And man, it was such a cool thing this morning to start off our worship service looking at our youth and what God's doing in their life. So cool to see what God's doing in their life. People who absolutely can be a Timothy in your life. They're people who God's raising up. They're already starting to get, wait a minute, I'm not only supposed to be a Timothy, I can be a Barnabas to people. I can run alongside of them. Our youth are starting to get, wait a minute, I don't have to be just a Barnabas. I can be an Elijah to somebody. I need to go find a Timothy. It doesn't matter if I'm just 16, 17, 18. I need to be looking for someone to pour into. They're getting it. They're smart. They're sharp. God's doing something in their life. Are you missing something? Are you missing one of these relationships? Do you realize I've been coming to church a long time? I don't know that I'm a Barnabas to anybody. Because I don't think it's just what do we need to do relationally as far as what we need to give or what we need to receive. It's also what we need to give. You could have been coming to church for 15 years and you realize, I don't know that I've ever really been a Barnabas to somebody. I don't know that I've given up my time and efforts to really come along and run alongside of somebody. I'm not talking about just a friend. I'm talking about somebody that I encourage and challenge and run with spiritually. It's different. Barnabas is different than just a friend. It's someone we have an intentional way of checking in on each other spiritually. Man, I don't know. I've been coming to church a long time, but I don't know if I've ever been intentional to pray and seek and give of the intentional time to build a bridge with a Timothy. I don't know that I've ever in church been willing to come and submit and look to just learn from an Elijah. And if you're not giving that, God may have designed you to be someone's Barnabas, and you're missing it. And God goes, I want to work in and through you to go be a blessing to somebody else's life. I want to be a blessing through you to encourage them. And so I want to encourage you. If you're missing one of these relationships, it also means somebody else is too. It's not just you. If you're missing one of these relationships, it means somebody else is missing their Elijah. It means somebody else is missing their Barnabas. It means somebody else is missing their Timothy. Where does God want to raise you up? So if the worship team wants to come back up, we'll close out the service. And as I do, I want to say, as a pastor, today was just amazing to me. I'm just so excited. To one, it's a family worship. You may be vertical, and this is new, and you're like, why are there so many kids in the service? One of the things we do every month to give our children's team a chance to worship in the service with us is we close our children's church. Even though it's incredibly important to raise up young leaders in our faith, we're not going to wait till middle school. We're not going to wait till high school to teach people the Bible and that they're a leader and God has a plan for their life. We're not going to wait, because I guarantee you culture's not waiting to tell them things. Tracy and Hannah and our team are so dedicated to raising up young leaders, but we close it once a month so that kids can watch their parents worship. They can be in service together. It's one of the things where you may go, man, well, you know, there's kids crying or there's kids yelling in the service. I want to tell you clearly as a pastor, because you may be newer here, I love it. I love it. I want to hear a kid crying in service. I want to hear a kid yelling in service. Why? You're like, that may be distracting. Hogwash. It's a reminder that some parent made a hard decision to go, it's easy to stay home today. It's easy not to get ready to go to church today. But some parents said, no, I want my kid to be raised in church. And that, amen, let's clap for them. That is commendable. Absolutely. So as a pastor, I want to be super clear. You bring your baby. You can have him cry in the service. You can hear him yell. It is not a distraction at all at Vertical Church. It's a blessing. We want to be a multi-generational church. We want your kids to be raised in church, and we will support you and care about you and pray for you. I'm so glad that you made a hard decision and you got here today with your kids. Well done. Proud of you. So as we close out the service, I just want us to think about, what relationship do we need? What relationship do we need? We've seen parents dedicating their kids today. You've got people who need an Elijah in their life to be, I want to be a spiritual grandparent. I want to be loving and encouraging and supporting to these young people raising up their kids in church. I want to rally around them and make sure they know they're not alone. Maybe you're here today and you go, man, I need an Elijah. I feel like I've got nobody pouring into my life. And God, I need you to bring that person. I need you to give me wisdom. Give me clarity on who to go ask to pour into my life. Maybe you need a Barnabas and you're like, man, I need to get into a group and get out of my comfort zone and say, I need some people to run alongside of me and encourage me spiritually. I don't want to do this alone. I'm not designed to do it alone. God's designed it for us to have a Barnabas to run alongside of us. Maybe you just want to spend some time being thankful that God's brought people like that into your life. God, thank you for doing that in my life. Here's the thing. Maybe for all that to start, you realize today's the day you need to give your life to Jesus. Before you can have an Elijah or Barnabas or Timothy, you go, I need to give my life to Jesus today. And I want to encourage you, whether you're on Hiawassee, to come up front. I'll be over here off to the side in Morganton. If you're online, send us a message. But if you want to give your life to Jesus today, to start all of this, today's your day. You don't have to wait. You don't have to change anything about your life. You don't have to try to get it straight first. You just have to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're putting your faith and trust in Him to lead your life and not yourself, and to ask for forgiveness of your sins. Say, Jesus, lead me. So, Lord, as we close out this service, Holy Spirit, won't you speak so clearly to us? Won't you help us see the need of not just needing an Elijah or Barnabas or Timothy, but also that we need to be that for other people. That God, you want to work in and through us to be a leader, to influence the world around us. God, help us to have the courage and boldness and to be intentional, to say, I want to be who you made me to be, God. Help me to submit to your plans and purposes in my life. Help me to see myself the way you see me, God, as someone who can be used for your honor and for your glory. Raise us up to be a house of hope. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.